Every group, American, Mexican, Navajo, and Pueblo, had worked out its own way of living. Even though its own way was right, no know how to explain things sensibly to the others, nor understand that they must learn how to understand each other and make announcements if they were to live usefully. It was the Spanish spoken in Mexico who start trouble. For some of them, at Taos, decided they were sorry they had surrendered so quickly. They got the Taos Indian to help them in the revolt. They killed and scraped the American government, whom Kerman had appointed. This was Governor Ben. He lived at Taos, and his Mexican wife was a sister of Kit Carson's wife. Kit was by now a famous hunter and guide, whom the Indian called the River Throne. He was not at Taos, but the people there still tell how his wife and her sister ducked their way up through the wall of an adobe house. While the Indians were outside in the governor, lay dead in the next room. The Navajo heard of all this. None of them spoke English in these days, and hardly only know Spanish. None could read. They had no way of knowing the truth of the situation as Navajo can now. They thought perhaps the Americans were gone forever. Perhaps, said the leader in Mexico, Agnator were right in saying that these Eastern strangers might no good to the country. It looked as though prompts to them need not been kept. The Navajo went back to Rome. In the next 3 years, the then American army left New Mexico, made 5 expeditions against the Navajo. None had any effort. The Navajo know well how to hide when Sulu were coming, and how to scare the flock so none could be found. It was going to take more than a small troop of soldiers riding in full sight against the Mesa. The converts then, the time for running was over. The non-stakes had now appoint military governor for New Mexico. He had an Indian agent to assist him in charge of the Indian tribe, Ute, Apache, and Navajo and Pueblo. These two men, Colonel Washington and Agent Crowhorn, decided to make a trip to the Navajo and ask them for peace. If the two people could not understand each other's way of a little better, perhaps something might have come to this. But each group had its own idea of what was right and could not imagine that others might think differently. The white man still found Navajo country very mysterious, so they asked for guide from the Army Navajo. Sandoval went with them, and so did a number of Zuni scouts. The Zuni were not good friends of the white man, and only too ready to help fight the Navajo if necessary. They went through Hemes and Coyote Canyon to the point between Tualina and Tigre Hill, where the Nebraska had his field. Mount Navajo came out to meet them as they marched. As soon as a crowd of them were galloping ahead with the Pueblo man in a cloud of dust, Nebraska came out to meet them, riding a horse. Throughout, he was now very old and been with the Navajo. Story says that his son-in-law, Manlito, was there too, and perhaps what happened that day had a great effort on Manlito's feeling toward the white. Colonel Washington went through a speech which so many Americans had made. He spoke in English, which was then put into Spanish, and finally into Navajo. There was no trained interpreter then, and we wondered whether Sandoval knew how to explain what the United States was and why there was an Indian agent. Still, the Navajo understood that the colonel meant to be friendly and that he wanted wrong to stop. Nebraska said he could do his best. He had brought 130 animals which he knew the Navajo had taken. He could not always control his young man, but if more were stolen, he could make good for less out of his own flock. There was a great deal to promise. The white man, of course, did not know that there were many brands of Navajo and that all might not agree. The Navajo perhaps did not understand that the white man really meant them to give up running. If they did that, how could they live? They probably thought this was just a short peace while they tried things out. Then something happened which showed that two groups were far from understanding each other. One of the Navajo was riding a horse which had been stolen from the Mexican. In that ugly way, the owner could never have tried to get it back, but could simply had gone on a road run against the Navajo and tried to steal some of the horse. That was a game the two people played and thought it was a fierce, if uncivilized group. They both understood it. However, now Mexican had the protection of the United States colonel. He asked to have the horse returned. The Navajo were amused. Of course, they said the horse been stolen, but that was long ago and it had changed hands many times. It had even been ridden back to the very village where the first owner lived, and he had claimed it to the Navajo that looked reasonably. But to Colonel Washington, it was simply disorderly, the law. He did not know how. Little law there was in New Mexico. "Sight the horse," he cried. Then somehow disorderly began, and some soldier fired a shot. It was the most tragic thing that could have happened. Only one man was killed, but that was not broken. Often that there was little hope of understanding between the two. It could have taken Colonel Washington a long time to explain that. In that subtle part of the country where he lived, there was one law for all, and that it forbidden stealing. The Navajo had never heard of such a thing, and they might have had trouble making him see that. Of course, they did not steal among themselves, but the Mexicans were enemies, and anything you did to them was laudable. They had never heard of laws which appeal to all men equally. There was no time to explain. The Navajo whirling their horse and galloping away. Most of them were enemy to the white of life, especially so was the tall Manlito, who was Nabrunko's son-in-law. After this, no one could get him to meet with the white nor to sign a treaty. He went to war. The white man rode on into Canon Dishe. No Navajo attacked them, for the Navajo had too much common sense to ride straight at armed soldiers. They wait their time to make new roads. In Canon Dishe wait the headmen, who were permitted on this side of the moon. These were chipped stone from the San Juan River and Mariano. These name was been given to Mariano Lake. An American overcoat, which perhaps he received as a gift, over his headband had been brave hat. Mariano and Chipstone had heard about the shooting. They wanted to steal the white men off until they could make plans. So they promised to give up stealing stock if they could find it, and they could give up the captive slave. This last was not so easy, for the slave had learned Navajo way, and many of them enjoyed the life. Chipstone had one with him who was a Mexican boy taken from Santa Fe. The boy refused to go home. It did not even ask about his relatives. The Navajo felt that now they need not keep treaty with the American. They went on with their business on routing. And between 1846 and 1850, they stole over 12,000 mules, 7,000 horses, 31,000 cattle, 450,000 sheep. These were from the Rio Grande Village, where the United States Marshal kept a court. No one knows how were taken from remote part of the country. It is true there were some Navajo leader who still talk in peace and try to keep the people quiet. One of these was Ganado, Mexico, and many cattle, the rich man, after whom Ganado is named. He had a hookah for each of his many wives, while his flock grazed for miles ahead. To steam bed, of course, he went no trouble with the whites. Then there was Lone Erin, who had made the speech to Dominican. The chief was progressive man whom seems that times were changing and want the Navajo to change with them. He dressed like a Spanish in black cloth, kneel breech and wool stocking. His braces were trimly with room of silver buckle, and one of the Navajo named him was Minnie Button. Minnie Buttons had friends among the American and the Pueblos, and he was always trying to get them and the Navajo to understand each other. He knew that all was harming themselves by so much fighting, no one listening to him. Each thought his own group was right and all the other were wrong. It was going to take hard lesson to make them understand. There were some Navajo now who spent all their time in fighting. Before man had gone out only when they need horse and sheep to give them a start in land. Now they felt everyone was against them. They might lose their herd any day and soon their lives. So it was better to grab all things could then stand ready to fight for it. This fight at voice sets peace, talking as Lone Erin and Ganado. They gathered around the war leading who dashed around the country, hurling, hiding, and fighting. Most famous of these was the tall hand, some manly to son-in-law, Melito, the old report said, was over 6 feet tall. He did not wear cloth.